This is an interview with Phil McKay by Dixie Hibbs for the Kentucky Oral History Commission. Name of our project is Prohibition and its Effects on Nelson County. We conducted the interview in Bardstown, Nelson County, South 3rd Street on September 26, 1988. Phil, would you tell me your name and when you were born and who your parents were and things about yourself?
Phil C. McKay, I'm 78 years old, I was born September 9th, 1910.
And what were your parents' names?
Tom and Margaret, Tom McKay and Margaret.
Margaret McClure, was it, or Margaret?
No, she was Margaret Croom.
Margaret Croom, I'm sorry. Okay, Margaret Croom. Then.
Margaret Croom.
And you grew up in Bardstown then? You lived there?
Well, Bardstown or close to it, around there, not out of the county.
Mm-hmm. Well, Prohibition was the period 1920 to 1933, and we're trying to get a feel about what was going on here in the county and what effects it had on the county. And you remember Prohibition, or do you remember?
Yeah. I remember there was a lot of whiskey hauled from Nelson County into Louisville. A lot of rum runners and everything.
Oh, man. Yeah. Did you know any of them, or you just heard about them?
Oh. There was
No, you didn't do anything. Okay. Well, it was, but it was well known in the community that this went on. And,
Oh, yeah.
Well, were the legal officials paid off, or they just turned their heads, or?
I don't know what happened.
It just happened.
I don't know what the, Wakefield was a main officer of the Prohibition enforcement and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I heard that he was, if you knew him, well, a lot of them said they could get by all right, stuff like that.
In other words, it was up to him whether that you were picked up or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the, did you ever work at a distillery or? That way. What type of business were you in, or were you in school or?
I graduated from Bardstown High School in 1929, June 29.
So your teenage years are really, or your young years when you remember the run. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it was, well, I don't know, it was a bunch of whiskey then, was you could buy from bootleggers and things like that.
We talked about, of course, the distilleries were all making whiskey, and when they closed the distilleries, the people were out of work. Did you know people that used to work in distilleries were working in something else? Or? They go back on the farms, or did they move out of town, or?
Well, a lot of them moved out of town, moved to Louisville, some went to Detroit, things like that.
What do you think they did in Detroit?
Well, worked at automobile factory.
Oh, automobile, okay. I thought you were, okay. But they didn't take their distilling knowledge up there, huh?
Oh, they had it. If they one of the food, they all had to. About making whiskey.
It's too easy, huh?
Yeah.
Well, then, the 1920, as I said, when it started, everybody knew it was going to come about. Didn't look like, do you think that the people thought that it should? Was there an attitude in town that this was a good move or a bad move? Or do you ever remember any of that?
I don't remember whatever they ever said about things like that.
What did the ministers ever preach for or against it, or?
No, I never heard them ever say anything about it.
That way?
No.
Somebody told a story, not on the tape, but another story about one of the members of the Baptist church, big, strong Baptist member, having to hide his moonshine in the baptismal fountain. Was that Did you ever hear that story?
Well, I never heard anything about
like
that.
Well, good. Maybe it's just a story. I won't quote any names about that. But well, you say it was easy to get whiskey. Was it used every time you had entertainment? I mean, you talk about going to the sweet shop and things. Did they have?
All of you. It was whiskey. There were several people sold whiskey, bootleg whiskey and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. Of course, y'all way long ago, you can get you a pint of whiskey.
Take it with you.
Take it with you or have it with you.
Mm-hmm. Did they, the law enforcement then, if you weren't, you know, if you didn't be just blatant about it, then they didn't arrest you for drinking, or they just did you have any?
The law enforcement, all they do is arrest drunks.
Drunks, okay.
But they never bothered anybody about whiskey, of course. Just so-so about that. Mm-hmm. The people had whiskey. Mm.
Do you ever, of course, locally, since you could get whiskey so easily, maybe doctors didn't have to give out prescriptions, but the only legal way to possess whiskey was to get a medicinal prescription.
Yeah.
And the doctors had to sign those. Did you ever know anybody had any of those? Did you ever see one of those?
I reckon I've seen one, but I've forgotten what they were. I know you had to sign some papers.
Uh-huh.
If you got it, you know what I mean?
At the drugstore?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Wherever you bought it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What kind of business was your father in this time?
He worked for the State Highway Department.
Mm. Was it a political appointment, or was he a construction man, or?
It was a political appointment, I reckon. And he'd been working for him after even we left the farm out there. He was working for the state, you know, thing was, of course, it was a political job, and he just thought he'd be working on. And then when after he got into it and everything, then when the election came off of Ruby LaFoon and everything else, but Mr. Joplin, well, he never did like Dad anyway, and so he just fired him.
You're talking about Mr. Johnson, didn't? And he, Mr. Johnson, had to say.
Yeah, he was a king bee then. He
mm-hmm.
he was a head man.
Mm. What about, of course, locally, we know what the whiskey was easy to get. What about the counties around us? Do you know if anybody ever came over here from other counties that didn't have distilleries? That,
oh, no, I never did know any of that.
Yeah. But we, locally, people took it to Louisville, right? You said they were taking it into Louisville to sell.
Yeah, that's where they hauled it from here to Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Lud was a jailer then, and that's about all he had in the jail was whiskey runners.
Bootleggers and
bootleggers like that.
Yeah. Did he keep them long, or they get out with a fine, or?
Oh, they'd be there for so long, he just kept them.
Okay. Did the county officials, you know, like the judge and the jailer, like you mentioned there, they just accepted the fact that they were going to handle this problem, or were they trying, they didn't try to cut down on it or anything? Of course, it went on so long. 13 years is a long time to have to deal with that.
Oh, I reckon it happened. They'd catch a, sometime now they were, they'd raid a steel out here in the county someplace, they'd raid a steel, and you'd tell you, well, they caught so-and-so with a steel.
Mm.
And then maybe go about another month or two, and there'll be another one.
Did they ever get sent to the penitentiary?
Oh, yeah.
It locally or in Atlanta? Or
go to Atlanta.
Go to Atlanta. That's the federal penitentiary.
Uh-huh.
But that was for making whiskey, right?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Somebody told me, you know, all this is tales you hear, but someone made some reference about a man taking the fall. In other words, he took the blame for making whiskey for somebody else. And he was sent off to prison, and the person who actually did it supported his children and his wife while he was in prison.
I never did hear of anything like that.
Okay, see, there's another story that I don't have any facts for. What about the banks and things? You know, when you fool with the economy, well, the banks usually lose pretty quickly. Was there a lot of foreclosures for people, or was money hard to get, or?
Well, it was always, there wasn't much money scattered around. Of course, a lot of the fellows that really were in the know and everything made a lot of money with whiskey back then.
Knowing who to sell it to,
yeah,
or what to do?
What to do and everything, mm-hmm. Knowing all the ropes and everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think that Kentucky, were there any newspaper articles or any talk about when they were trying to rescind prohibition in the early, I guess, 33 was when it was over. Were there any campaigns to get Kentuckians to back this, or any feeling about changing this great experiment they talk about?
I don't remember anything about that much.
You remember voting in that election to rescind the prohibition? That'd be 32, probably.
I don't remember voting anything or when it was voted back or anything. I don't remember it was done. Just remember that Roosevelt was elected and the thing get carried.
Okay.
Is all I remember.
That he was the one who actually was the
instigator of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, do you think it was a good idea? Do you think it didn't? Was it a failure, or did it succeed what it was supposed to do?
Well, I think the whiskey coming back was a good thing,
mm-hmm.
as far as that's concerned.
Mm-hmm.
All of the prohibition was always just a joke, anyhow.
Mm, that's an interesting thing. A joke in terms of of really being enforced.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's a lot of money made.
And no government taxes made on either, right? But you couldn't claim it, you know, in terms of your taxes,
mm-hmm.
and then they couldn't get any tax for the whiskey, yeah. What about, you're hearing stories about people who own the distilleries, and, you know, when they tell me that when they went and opened them up in 33, all that whiskey evaporated from the warehouses.
Oh, well, I stayed in town one night with Uncle Lud, who was the jailer then, and that's when Carl Moore Distillery burnt down there.
Okay.
And we went down there to the fire, and then the whiskey was running down the hill and down the creek, you know.
Did somebody set it on fire, or did it just happen?
They never did know whether it was set on fire or not. A lot of them thought it was set on fire, but there was never any
proof about it.
Mm.
Was that toward the end of Prohibition, or was it, you have any idea about what?
That was right in the middle of Prohibition.
Middle.
I reckon it was around.
So how old were you when you figure out from there?
I was about when that burned. I don't know when it burned. I reckon it burned around 25. I was about 15 years old.
Yeah, that'd be about right. Mm-hmm.
And
so, did you ever hang around any of the barbershops, or where were the places people hung around and talked?
Well, up there at Tom Biggs and Sweet Shop. That was about the, whatever that guy loafed around.
Is that where people cut their deals, or they just?
No, the deals were cut. I don't know how they did it, but anyhow, they were pretty big. Charlie Lawrence, he was supposed to be, a room runner, as they call him, about hauling whiskey to Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the big ones. They just hauled it from Bardstown to Louisville. And of course, they had dumping places down there for it.
Then you contacts said get rid of it, like you said.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. Was this moonshine they were hauling, or you think it
moonshine.
Was moonshine? Okay. Oh, did you ever know anybody from any of the big cities coming in here looking for whiskey? Like, you know?
I never did know any of them.
Yeah, didn't see them on that. Mm. What about any crimes? Were there any violent crimes that took place? I mean, somebody trying to steal whiskey from another rum runner or anything like that?
Oh, it was some of that stuff went on all the time. I don't remember who they were or anything, but here say somebody say, well, so-and-so lost his car to some guys, held him up and took his car and whiskey, and that was the end of that.
He couldn't complain to police because he wasn't supposed to have it, right?
That's right.
Okay. Do you ever hear of any women running whiskey?
No, I never did
hear that.
No, I never did
hear that. Did they carry guns when they ran the whiskey?
I don't know whether they did or not.
Mm-hmm. What about, who were the big powers in Bardstown at that time? People that, besides you mentioned Ben Johnson, he was a power in the state.
Yeah, but he was a state
power.
Yeah.
Did he drink?
No.
No, he didn't drink. Okay. Who was your judge and your mayor and things like that? Do you remember different ones?
I forgot that time now who,
20?
Judge Euler was one judge.
Was Rapier?
Morgan Euler.
Yeah, was there a Rapier who was a judge?
No, it was from my time.
Okay.
That
was his father. Uh-huh. What about Brown? Was he judge at the time?
Oh, yeah.
Judge Brown?
I don't know where he was judged then or not, but...
Wallace Brown,
yeah, mm-hmm. But he probably was part of it.
Now, he was, wasn't he kind of strict? I don't too much about
him. Well, I reckon he was.
I didn't know whether that would have made any difference.
He was just kind of matter-of-fact person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And then the mayor would have been, one Cisco, was it? No.
He was mayor for a long time, and then about that time when they changed it up and they started having the...
Conway
was a mayor.
Demery followed him.
And Demery was a mayor. And
Demery followed him, and then he resigned.
I've forgotten when Cisco, too, when that changed. I should know that.
He was mayor.
Okay. Well, I think he began being mayor in 1896 or something like that, late 90s. Or maybe it was 1900. So this is 20s we're talking about. It'd be 20 years. 20s, okay.
He was mayor a long time.
Okay. He ran carriage factory.
Yeah.
And Tombstone, did they also make tombstones there at that carriage factory?
Well, they didn't make them, but they sold
them. Sold them? Okay, sold them there.
Ask Phil, if you don't tell me about that leveling factory.
Oh, yeah. We had a question interview earlier about the level. Mr. Guthrie and Stiles, in a newspaper article, a little clipping, they talked about they went into partnership and they were going to have this factory that made levels, you know, like you use for carpentry to see if it was a new type of level, new design, and it was going to be made here in Bardstown. And the newspaper article went on about how this would provide jobs for people, and see, the economy was down so much because of Prohibition. Do you ever remember? It was up on the Beale Street, on the corner of Beale and 4th Street.
I don't remember anything about it.
Will owned all that property up there.
Will did? Mm-hmm.
Style? No,
okay.
I don't remember.
Will owned the Bashir.
Okay.
And
well, I don't know.
Those little houses there on Bashir.
Well, I bet that's why they put the factory there, because he already owned the property. Because there weren't any houses up there in that area. That was all field, I think. Kind of thing, huh?
Will Style, he was sharp on the... all that stuff. If he'd have lived, they don't tell how much money he's been worth.
Mm-hmm.
He just
Someone else called him a traitor. Is that what you think? He's a traitor?
Traitor, all just anything like that. He just wanted to do it. In fact, I was going to go to work for him. The next spring when he died, he asked me to come to work for him. He'd been trying to get me for a couple of years out there in the country, and he finally got it. And when he died, well, I had one of his buck sheep down there, and I told Jack about it. I said, Daddy, I said, I had one of his sheep down here, and so he had me to put the sheep on a truck, come down the road one morning, instead of put him on, take him into the stockyard. He took him in, I put him on a truck, and they took him on into the stockyard.
Hmm. Were you then a farmer?
I was farming.
Farming. Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Stiles seems to be connected with farming a lot. You hear different stories.
He was messed up with a lot of people in farming.
That way.
He was always, a lot of people in that time, some people say, well, Will Stiles was such a bad person, but all I had with him was just all right. It was just he had good ideas about things. And
did he loan money to people or help them out?
I think he did.
Mm-hmm. That way. Well, then, after Prohibition was over and they opened up the distillery, do you remember what distillery started up?
Well, pretty
far after.
Down where Barton is now, that distillery opened up.
Mm-hmm.
I worked down there for, I reckon I worked about it about 2 years, I reckon.
Was it called Barton's Inn or was it?
Yeah, it wasn't called Barton Inn. No, it was, what did they call it?
Wasn't Mattingly Moore.
No. I forgot what they called it.
Well, it might come back.
It was the same one it is now. It changed hands and everything. Tour and Coffin from Detroit, they bought it. And they ran it for several years.
Did they buy it after Prohibition or did they buy it during?
Yeah, they bought it after Prohibition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bought it from the Moors?
No, it didn't belong to the Moors.
Okay.
Will Stiles and Hinkle and Lambert rolling over at one time?
I don't know whether they did or not.
Stiles, Hinkle, and Willett, possibly. Okay. The you've got what we now call Barton's, which is a distillery on the old Nashville Road. What about Heaven Hill was later, wasn't it? How much later?
It wasn't too much later because it was one of the first ones that started.
Oh, no. Were there any other partners besides the Shapiros, or did they just have it?
I reckon they had some, but I don't remember who they were or anything.
Yeah, but, there were several brothers, I think.
Yeah.
Then we've got Withrow, the distillery, is it Shawhan or the Withrow?
That's Shawhan.
Did that open up then or did that?
No, that was just a little bit later. Okay. It was one of them that started.
Charlie Newman.
I don't know, it must have been Shawhan, I reckon.
Charlie Newman, okay. Now you mentioned him earlier, Nancy, on out there at early times, or he wasn't involved in early times, he just was a visitor?
Who?
Charlie Newman.
He wasn't involved in early times. Okay. He was a visitor at Wickman.
Just a visitor at Wickman, okay. Well, I'm sorry. All right, was that in the 30s then when he came?
New York,
okay. Charlie Newman was New York. Then he was an investor involved with Shawhan, we think.
I don't remember who Shawhan was. Miss Stiles had something to do with it, I think.
I don't know who found out about it.
Let's see. But it still had started back up, and the things get, we're still in the Depression era, because that lasted till probably the First World, I mean, Second World War, didn't it? When you call it Depression, it was all through the 30s.
Oh, and, yeah.
Yeah, the WPA work projects and things. Did you know anybody that was working on any of that?
Mm.
You know, they built roads, they built the fill that went out there on...
I don't know, I worked on one of them. Mm. It was out there fixing the road at the road goes back there.
Off of 62 or off of 150?
Off of 150 there, out there. The Potter Shop Road.
Potter Shop Road, yeah. All right. Mm-hmm.
I worked on that one.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. When the, if you started the distilleries up, it took some of the, you know, workforce, but it still, there were a lot of people out of work.
Oh, yeah.
That way. It, how did they, you know, I don't think I've ever asked this, how did they transport that whiskey when they, you bottle, you know, you made whiskey and put in the barrels and put in the warehouse, and then you bottle it. And then did they use trucks or did they use a train to ship it, you know, to markets all over the United States?
I don't know anything about that.
You don't remember them loading it on the train or anything
no,
like that?
No, I don't remember them loading it.
Mm-hmm. It was Fairfield. It was trains. Yeah. Now, Fairfield was a new distillery, too. Well, no, it, well, McKenna was at Fairfield.
No, I know that the Fairfield distillery was my father's.
Oh, okay. I don't mean...
And they also, they didn't use trucks when they started making alcohol for the government. See, during the war, they made alcohol.
Well, see, I'm not familiar with that
at all.
Did
you know about that? Oh, yeah, that's what they have now. They got history.
Okay. Okay, so we're talking, set up the distilleries, making whiskey, putting it in the warehouse after Prohibition. Then they would ship it by truck or train, depending on where the distillery was. Mostly trains when they were, okay. And then during the Second World War, these same distilleries made alcohol for the government. Oh, I didn't realize that at all. Okay. So that really the distilleries have played a big part in our whole scheme of things here. They weren't something that just was a... an additional industry. They did you use local grain? Do you know, did the farmers sell their grain to the distilleries? Or?
Oh, I don't know whether they did or not.
I didn't know if you
remember. I don't remember in particular about that.
Mm-hmm.
At one time, of course, Nelson County was just the you know, the whiskey capital of the United States. See, mm-hmm. There was, I forgot what it was, but there was 14 or 16 distilleries in this county.
This before Prohibition or afterwards?
Before
Prohibition.
Prohibition. Yeah.
Okay.
And so that's about all I know about that. I don't remember who they were or anything else. It's just
just in every direction, huh?
Yeah, so they were busy. Of course, didn't interest me. I didn't. They were busy.
Did you ever hear any sermons? I asked that, I think, before, though. In the church, did they ever preach against the drinking or preach against, you know?
I never did.
They had temperance leagues. Mm-hmm. I know that, you know, women were joined to temperance leagues.
Yeah. I never did hear preachers ever say anything about whiskey or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I don't know how they felt about it or anything.
Mm-hmm. Then, when the period you were going to school, of course, after you came in from out in the county, or you lived in town then?
Well, about that time, we moved in town just about that time. I went to school. I stayed with Ms. Duval up there, corner. I forget what street it is, on Main Street and something else up there. I stayed with them when I was going in the eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And then that, I think that summer or something is when the side moved to town. Mother and Daddy, they decided to move to town then.
All right, we were just talking about you moving into town in the early 20s from the farm. Then later you went back to the farm, I think you mentioned. So you were going to school, living in town and going to school during Prohibition.
Yeah.
Were there any kind of notorious people that, as a school child or a school student, I'm sure there was gossip about this one or that one. Did you have anybody in the community that they considered kind of somebody you made fun of or notorious or known that they made their living on the rum running or are trying to outdo the law, anything like that?
Oh, I remember there was several people, you know, that fooled whiskey then and run it to Louisville and things like that. There were a lot of them doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And back in Prohibition.
Did anybody ever use a horse to run it around, or you always?
It was all cars.
All cars.
Mm-hmm. I reckon back out here in the country and the knobs and things back here, well, they just had to use horses.
Was the moonshine made from grain or make it from sugar or what?
A lot of it was sugar. Of course, there was corn whiskey then and sugar whiskey. And of course, the corn whiskey was the one they liked to. A lot of them didn't like the sugar whiskey. They didn't think too much of that.
Okay. Well, and which was one faster than the other, or easier to get some supplies?
No, just the taste and everything of it just kind of burnt and stuff like that. It just wasn't as good as whiskey.
Did he ask you about the brown whiskey that I don't remember Dad ever having any moonshine whiskey around?
Okay. Nancy was asking about the brown whiskey. She said she never remembered Mr. Guthrie ever having any moonshine.
No, I had moonshine. I knew it was moonshine, but it wasn't white.
It wasn't white. Okay, that was what?
Well, it was just aged moonshine. They put in kegs and stored it in.
Oh, they did store
it. Oh, okay. Yeah, they put in kegs. They used
the old barrels, whiskey barrels?
Most of them used these 25-gallon kegs.
Oh, okay.
They weren't too big kegs.
Maybe that's when you bought and you left it off.
They left it in there. Some of it had a pretty good color to it.
Uh-huh.
And I think some of them didn't leave it in there long enough or something. It wasn't as good and everything. But that's what they wanted. Made good whiskey. And like from over there in Howardstown, well, they put it and stored it and everything else.
Almost like producing it for the distillery.
Yeah, they just put it in the house and everything and let it age. I guess some of it was 3 or 4 years old.
Mm.
Well, most of it I reckon was a couple of years old, was colored up and they
put a little caramel in it or something, or sugar,
brown
sugar?
Yeah, well, some of them do anything to it.
Did you ever know anybody that got real sick or blind? You know, they talk about some of it was so bad in Prohibition, not necessarily locally, but that it could blind you. It was so, you know, so much alcohol or the different that way. But
I reckon it was things happened to everybody back there then. There was tales and everything about different ones. I don't remember that kind of stuff.
Oh, man.
An accident. They didn't do it on purpose.
Well, I know, but that's an interesting story. See, again, the tapes are all stories.
Happened at Fairfield. My father's Fairfield.
Hidden Hill down here, when they started up everything back there, there was one of them, supposed a goat fell in one of those vats.
The fermenting vats?
No, it was in the
maize.
The maize.
We mean it was open to the
outdoor? Oh, it was open. You could see it bubbling.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, it's a vat is like a two-story tub that holds something like 20,000 gallons or something. But you mean a goat could have gotten in the building and fallen in there?
They said that it happened. Something fell into the over Fairfield distillery where they were right up.
I can remember
going through there and Dad saying that they just fished out something
that day.
And God, can people drink this stuff, you know?
Well, but of course they're fermenting. They're going to take it back to the still and distill it. Yes,
it's a horrible fault.
Even though that animals did drop into the fermenting tubs, with Bardstown whiskey still had a wonderful reputation.
Yeah, it really did.
And in taking it to Louisville, they knew it came from Bardstown, they trusted that it was going to be of a certain quality.
Well,
goat falling in didn't bother thing. He was just a dead goat. That's all.
That's all there was. All right. So that really didn't deter people from drinking either. Okay.
No.
All right. I can understand that.
Nelson County.
My apologies. You're correct. It was Nelson County whiskey. You're right, because some of the. I was going to ask about, is most of the moonshining or most of the illicit distilling, is the proper legal term, did that take place south of the river or?
Oh yeah.
Or all over.
Most of it was. And of course, there was a lot of it made. I think it was whiskey made right in Bardstown.
Inside of the town.
Yeah, right in Bardstown.
Well, Nancy mentioned Wicklund. Do you know anything about them making whiskey in Wicklund before they started Tea Room?
Before? I don't know where they made any out there or not, but there was several of them that lived out there or something that mixed up in whiskey.
Okay.
I don't know where they were, just maybe a meeting place or something like that, or where they made any out there or not.
Okay. I think about trying to make up enough whiskey to make some money, and I think about all the problems involved in getting grain and all the paraphernalia for making it. But it must have been easier than it appears to me now. I mean, of course, you had to have a still, copper still, and you had to have the grains, and you had to have water, and a place to get rid of the mash.
Yeah.
And then time to watch it and all, and. Did you ever know of anybody confiscating the stills and selling them or throwing them or cutting them up or anything like that? Did you ever hear about any of that?
Oh yeah, that was
Julius Stoker first.
They did that all the time when they raided the prohibition office, raided the place, raided the steel. Well, they just tear it up and cut it up and everything like that.
Were they federal officers or were they local officers too?
Federal officers.
Federal, okay. Were there people that were known to be, to give information to these federal officers? Did they pay for any information or did they just?
Oh, I imagine they did. I imagine it was right smart of it.
Well, I didn't know if they ever, more or less ratted on the moonshiners or if there were any favors, if they were, what they call it now would be turning state's evidence. I don't know whether, did that ever happen that somebody got caught so he turned in some others to get a lighter sentence or?
Oh, I imagine some of them did in the thing. There was a lot of that stuff. Of course, that was done in the courts in Louisville, mm-hmm. where they had the
Federal court. Who were the lawyers here? Did any of the lawyers go to Louisville to defend any people? Or?
Oh yeah, they were then. Ernest Fulton, he
did everybody else.
He was a lawyer.
Was he the one to call when you in trouble?
Yeah, he was
the one?
Yeah.
What about Mr. Halstead? Was he?
That was before prohibition.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He's not our generation.
Well, I thought he died in the 20s or something.
He did.
Yeah.
Something like that.
But he was older? Okay.
Yeah.
You say Fulton was the one to call.
He was one of them.
One of them, okay. That's
Andrew Nichols was a lawyer at that time?
Let's see what other lawyers I can think about. What about Mr. Barlow? Wasn't Smith Barlow's father?
Yeah.
Wasn't he an attorney?
Yeah.
Mr. Kelly.
Kelly, right. Was it Victor?
Yeah.
Victor Kelly?
Kelly was a lawyer.
But I wonder what kind of fee you had to pay to be gotten, to be represented in federal court by Mr. Fulton or something. Did he have anybody on retainer? I mean, was he on retainer for anybody that?
Oh, I don't know about that. I imagine he was.
Was? Okay. You have to go that often?
Yeah.
Someone said something about a Mr. Greenwald, Charlie Mack Greenwald.
Was he
a known runner?
Oh, he was always just kind of had something fool with anything kind of rough and everything about something. He just. Oh, he had food with whiskey, a lot and everything.
Okay. Well, do you think that Nelson County what about the morals? Do you think that people's respect for the law or their moral character changed, or it didn't make any difference with prohibition? You think that
people it's just a way of life. It's just one of those things. That's all. I can never see about it.
Of course, it was breaking the law, but
yeah.
It wasn't a law they respected.
No, I don't think they respected it. Just hey, you see, we lived out there in the country when it first started and everything. Well, Daddy said to see a car going down the road, Daddy said, that's a rum-running car there. Said, that's somebody's hauling whiskey to roll.
How would he know it? Would he know the person?
Oh, he just know, looking at the car or something.
Oh, he loaded the back.
Just, or see them as they'd be loaded up, everything would be riding there.
Oh, the back end would be down low.
Maybe he'd load it out, he'd say, that's a rum-runner.
Okay. That makes sense. Did they have special, were there certain cars that were faster than others that the rum runners would want, or?
Oh yeah, there was all of the, anything like that. They, it was old Dodges, they had a lot of them.
Were they heavy, I mean like a heavy car that would carry a load without dragging or breaking down?
It was, Dodge, it was a good car. Mm.
How much, do you remember how much whiskey would have been about the time? I mean, like a pint of whiskey, could you buy a pint for a dollar? Or?
Oh, about, seemed to me like whiskey cost about $2 or $2.50 a pint.
Really? That's similar to what we have now. That'd be fairly expensive, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, not, well, comparison price, it's cheaper now than it was then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it really is.
The, let's see. We need to close this particular thing up. To summarize most of what we're saying, it was very evident there were lots of bootleggers or rum runners, and everyone.
You get a car, you're not him. Is that your car?
The idea that everybody knew where, who was running and what was going on, and people were willing to overlook it because it was just a law they didn't respect and things like that.
I don't remember.
Nobody ever looked down on anybody that was running whiskey.
I don't think so.
Did anybody get killed? Do you remember anything like that? Nobody got killed or
shot up?
Accidents, okay.
You know, I don't know that they were deliberately killed, but they were, I'm just going to let you hear.
Mm-hmm.
They were off. You know, they got drunk and they had a wreck, and I remember, you know, there were a lot of people that were
transporting run, and you were saying earlier about...
No, I was talking about drinking.
The drinking and driving sort of thing. Well, I was thinking about the...
Transporters?
Yes, the people who were actually carrying it to...
I don't remember hearing, but I wouldn't have heard those things.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody, I don't think anybody in Bardstown really felt it. I say, ain't the end, a holy God-fearing woman making the best home
brew. The best home
brew. That's kind of the attitude that...
It's one of those that things that...
You know, it just, it was a stupid law.
Stupid law,
now,
okay.
I think maybe some of the Baptists, I really do. Phil says he doesn't remember, but I remember hearing tales.
Well, that's
and I think maybe some of the Baptists did, some of the ministers anyway. But there was Mr. Jim Beam, and T.W. Samuels, who were pillars of the Baptist Church.
And they were owners of distilleries.
And I can remember sometime hearing about a minister who came, a revival minister, I think, and he started ranting and raving about liquor. And somebody got up and said, listen, this church was built with liquor money, and you better be quiet.
Oh, that's an interesting point.
And
okay.
So don't quote me on that.
Well,
that
one. Okay.
But that was, I think the Baptist particularly, I don't remember anything right there. And of course, you know, like people are today, they ran and raved, but they
put up with it. They drank. All right.
Well, what would you like?
Okay. Well, I thank you, Phil, for your memories. It's kind of a put you on the spot real quick today, but and you may think of other things we might come back later and add to this one.